You may be familiar with video tutorials from the Khan Academy. More than 100 million people around the world are. The video started with a hedge fund analyst to help tutor his younger cousins in math. They took off to now become an online nonprofit education enterprise to help millions of children and their beleaguered parents learn skills. Sal Khan also has 3 school-aged children of his own, and they are stuck at home in these times. Sal Khan joins us. Thanks very much for being with us, sir.
Great to be here, Scott.
You've been forthright in saying that however helpful your videos or anybody's videos can be, online schooling is not ideal, is it?
Pure online schooling, I'll be the first to say, and I'm, as you just referred to, I'm a bit of a poster child for online learning. But over the last decade or so, most of our resources have actually been around practice and feedback and tools for teachers and ways for kids to progress at their own time and pace. That by itself is for sure going to be suboptimal. Or if you have that plus a video conference, that's still not the same thing as being in a physically present classroom, being able to get all of the social interaction, build all of the friendships. And so this world that we have fallen into because of the pandemic, we just have to hold hands and get through it, given the constraints we're dealt.
Any advice that you can offer, practical advice, teachers and for that matter, parents, to try and make the online world better?
The first is the realization that distance learning, even though we've just said it's suboptimal, for a lot of kids, this actually might be the main way that they get connected to their friends because everything in their life is distance. And so when we think about distance learning, and there's really 2 modalities that we have at our disposal. We could call, you know, the asynchronous modalities. That's the Khan Academy. Kids can learn at their own time and pace, get as much practice as they need. The other is to get on video conference, to get on Google Meet or get on Zoom, and for students to actually be able to be live present with their peers and with their teachers. It's key that they emphasize the social, they emphasize the human interaction. A one-person to 30-student lecture, frankly, isn't the most engaging way to run a physical classroom, and it's super not engaging when you think about a video conference session. So everything should be about pulling kids out of the screen, asking them questions, cold calling, asking them to do things. Say, hey, here's a problem. Take the next 5 minutes to try to solve it. Put your answer on the message board.
What's cold calling? I mean, I understand it for a real estate salesman. What is it for a teacher?
So cold calling is this notion of calling on a student even if they're not raising their hand and asking them a question, maybe a provocative question, something that makes them think a little bit about things. You know, in this time, that's the only way to really pull kids out, because some kids might be willing to engage and jump in on video conference, but a lot of kids are going to need the teachers to constantly pull them out.
I have an impression that this is a particularly difficult period for youngsters who have learning challenges.
Yeah, and it's across the spectrum. And unfortunately, it's learning challenges are going to be an issue. And then I think that's going to be compounded with, you know, socioeconomic stresses. I think In certain cases, kids might actually get more personalized attention in this world. But for a lot of kids, whether they have special learning needs or not, and we're talking at least 10 to 30% of the population, even if we're able to overcome digital divide issues, they might not have the right supports at home. Their parents might be essential workers. They're not even in the house to support their kids. They might only have one device or one cell phone that's the entire family's lifeline to the outside world. So this is going to be a really tough year for those kids.
Mr. Khan, a lot of teachers aren't particularly comfortable with the technology. What do you do about that?
The biggest source of discomfort is just how foreign it is sometimes, and a fear of doing something the wrong way. I think, traditionally in education, there's so many stressors on the teacher. They're being evaluated in, you know, this way and that way, that now that you're going to a new modality, there's a little bit of fear of like, what if I don't do it right? I spoke to a local school district out here in California. What I said is, look, you don't let the perfect be the enemy of the good. Just get started. And so there's plenty of opportunities to try new things. And if you fail, fail forward. Learn from it. Tell your friends what worked and what didn't work. And then try a new iteration.
I feel the need to leave our conversation by asking you if there was one thing that you could tell teachers who are challenged now to communicate with their students, what would it be?
I would say optimize for as many human touch points as possible. I think this is a time where kids are so in need of human interaction that as much as possible, if a teacher can spend more time doing even very informal, you know, Google Meet or Zoom sessions, just being available for students and not putting too much burden on the teachers to have everything fully baked, fully planned. That human interaction is what's going to make all the difference. Instead of 30 kids for an hour, it could be three groups of 10 for 20 minutes each. But it's that more human, more intimate interaction that's going to make all the difference this coming year.
Shal Khan, founder and CEO of the Khan Academy, thanks so much for being with us, sir.
Thanks for having me.